I am. Thank you. And I am welcoming to the stage Leanne. Leanne is a local artist and a member of our community. While I'm speaking, Leanne is going to be painting, and it'll go along with the message. So right now, if you can't at least sort of see what's going on over here and you want to shift, go right ahead and do that. It won't bother me at all. So it's a great, great privilege to be here today and take maybe a little bit different look at this day that we celebrate Jesus' birthday. So it's exciting, but sometimes I think when this day is over, we forget that this day is intended to impact every single day of our lives. So we're here today to look at how it can impact us, and we're here to look at how can it help us walk this life out day to day? And you know, a lot of us struggle with fears, and so we're here to look at the message of Jesus and see what does it have to say about not having to live under the dark cloud of fear in our lives. So we're going to start with a really familiar story. It's the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. We have a video that comes from the Jesus Story Bible, so we're going to watch that right now.
The light of the whole world. That same night, in amongst the other stars, suddenly a bright new star appeared. Of all the stars in the dark vaulted heavens, this one shone clearer. It blazed in the night and made the other stars look pale beside it. God put it there when his baby son was born, to be like a spotlight, shining on him, lighting up the darkness, showing people the way to him. You see, God was like a new daddy. He couldn't keep the good news to himself. He'd been waiting all these long years for this moment, and now he wanted to tell everyone. So he pulled out all the stops. He'd sent an angel to tell Mary the good news. He'd put a special star in the sky to show where his boy was. And now he was going to send a big choir of angels to sing his happy song to the world. He's here. He's come. Go and see him, my little boy. Now, where would you send your splendid choir? To a big concert hall, maybe? Or a palace, perhaps? Now, God sent his to a little hillside, outside a little town. In the middle of the night, he sent all those angels to sing for a raggedy old bunch of shepherds watching their sheep outside Bethlehem. In those days, remember, people used to laugh at shepherds and say they were smelly and call them other rude names, which I can't possibly mention here. You see, people thought shepherds were nobodies, just scruffy old riffraff. But God must have thought shepherds were very important indeed, because they are the ones he chose to tell the good news to first. Well, that night, some shepherds were out in the open fields, warming themselves by a campfire, when suddenly the sheep darted. They were frightened by something. The olive trees rustled. What was that? A wing beat? They turned round. Standing in front of them was a huge warrior of light, blazing in the darkness. "Don't be afraid of me," the bright shining man said. "I haven't come to hurt you. I've come to bring you happy news for everyone, everywhere. Today, in David's town, in Bethlehem, God's son has been born. You can go and see him. He is sleeping in a manger." Behind the angel, they saw a strange glowing cloud. Except it wasn't a cloud. Oh, it was angels. Troops and troops of angels armed with light. And they were singing a beautiful song. "Glory to God. To God be fame and honor and all our hoorays." Then, as quickly as they appeared, the angels left. The shepherds stamped out their fire, left their sheep, raced down the grassy hill, through the gates of Bethlehem, down the narrow cobbled streets, through a courtyard, down some steps, past an inn, round a corner, through a hedge, until at last they reached a tumble down stable. They caught their breath. Then quietly they tiptoed inside. They knelt on the dirt floor. They had heard about this promised child, and now he was here. Heaven's son, the maker of the stars, a baby sleeping in his mother's arms. This baby would be like that bright star shining in the sky that night, a light to light up the whole world, chasing away darkness, helping people to see. And the darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine.
Isn't that a great version of that story? I love the way it captures God's heart for the shepherds, captures God's heart for us, and God's heart for the whole world. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dig in a little bit deeper to this story. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room even more than you are right now. Would you help us celebrate today really, really well? And Papa, would you help us see that we can carry your message of Christmas into every single day of our lives, and that it really, really changes everything? We pray all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the very first thing we notice in this story is that our God delights in surprises. In fact, in really big surprises, right? And if you want to follow along in the message, there's Bibles underneath your chairs. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It's just an ordinary night in the countryside of Bethlehem. Verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." So shepherds doing what shepherds do, right? Watching over their sheep on a quiet night. So what's so surprising? Well, it's pretty surprising, just like the video we just watched said, that this is the group that God would choose to send his special message to first. So normally, who do you tell big news to? You've just gotten a new job. You've gotten engaged. You're going to have a baby. You just aced a test. You just got a new puppy. Who do you tell first? Well, you tell the people who are closest to you, right? You tell the people that you want to make sure they hear from you and not from someone else. And if you had something that you wanted to make sure that the whole world knew, then who would you tell? Well, you'd tell the important people, right? You'd tell people with some power and some influence. You'd tell the people who have the most friends on Facebook, right? So a post on their wall would get out to the masses. That's who we'd tell. But who did God choose to tell? Important people? Did he choose kings and queens, powerful, influential people? Well, he does tell important people. But it's surprising, isn't it, who he thinks is important? He tells a group of shepherds. And at this time in history, like our video said, shepherds were considered to be of some of the very least important people in society. They shared the same status as tax collectors and dung sweepers. They were considered to be second class and untrustworthy. Religious leaders actually banned the pasturing of goats and sheep in the vicinity of the city because they didn't want the shepherds to be around. In fact, I looked and saw that there were some religious historical documents at the time, and they referred to shepherds in really belittling terms. One passage described them as incompetent. And another said, "You should never feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who's fallen into a pit." They didn't think very much of these people, did they? So this is who God sees as important to tell this big news to first. a handful of shepherds, marginalized by society, marginalized by the church and the religious elite. God surprises everyone by telling them first. So it made me stop and think, who do we marginalize? Who do we marginalize in our town? Who do we marginalize at school, in our workplaces? Who are the people that we don't ever go out of our way to get their opinion on something? And as I thought about it, God has really been convicting me about this. He's made me really stop and think, who do I need to be around so I don't miss some of the surprising things that God's doing? Who do I easily dismiss? So I want to take a minute and ask God to show us, each individually, who that might be for you. I think we all have people that we dismiss, that we don't want to even admit it to ourselves, but we just don't think they're quite as important. Certainly not important to people to tell our biggest news to. So it might be an individual. It might be a coworker. It might be someone who gets made fun of in school. It might be someone who annoys you. It might be a relative that you are going to see this afternoon. It could even be a full group of people, possibly. It might be a group of people that you don't feel are quite up to the same level as you. Maybe they are at a different socioeconomic status. Maybe they don't have as much education as you have. Maybe they're people who've been in trouble with the law. Maybe they're whole groups of people like Native Americans or blacks or Muslims. Maybe it's people from Superior. We all have people that we dismiss, right? So I'm just simply going to ask God to have his Holy Spirit show up right now and just drop that name or group of people's name in each of our minds. So it's just going to take a second. That's what we're going to do. So Holy Spirit, come. And as we're quiet before you, we just invite you right now. Would you show us who that is for each one of us? And as that name comes to you, God, would you show us what we could do in the next couple of weeks to change that? Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, so fear, it can stop us from reaching out to people who aren't like us or who we just see as being a little bit different. But fear can also steal the joy and the wonder that God intended for us to have in our day-to-day lives. And you know, we live in a society that's plagued by fear. Have you noticed that? I talk to so many people who are afraid. They're afraid because they're just not sure what to do next, or they're afraid that if they step out and if they dare to ask God what he wants them to do, that he might not show up and they're going to be a fool, or they just can't do whatever it is. Well, the shepherds could have been so afraid by what they saw that they might not have gone to see the baby Jesus, right? In fact, they might have hid or ran away. And you know what? They were afraid. They were downright terrified. Look at verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I checked out the Greek, and in the Greek, this word is actually doubled. So the Greek word for fear is phobio, which actually means phobio phobias. They weren't just phobio. They were phobiophobias. Literally, it says, when the glory of the Lord came upon them, they feared with great fear. They were really, really afraid. So, of course, the angel says, fear not. Don't be afraid, because what I'm telling you is good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, the phrase good news here is the word gospel. It's where we get the word about the gospel message of Jesus being born. The angels say, I know you're afraid. All humans are afraid. But you don't have to be afraid if you really hear what I have to tell you. If you grab hold of the truth of this message, you don't have to be afraid. And what is the angel saying? You don't have to be afraid if you really, really understand what this whole message is about. So that's a pretty big deal for us, right? What if you didn't have to be afraid anymore? Well, I think that would change everything for many of us in this room. And the message of Christmas is just that. If you understand and believe what the angels say, you can live a life that's not controlled by fear. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. There it is. It's a famous verse, isn't it? We've probably, many of us, heard it many, many times. But I'm afraid that we don't live like it's really true. So what a marvelous thing for the angel to come and say, Christmas is the end of fear. It's not just about a cute little baby being born today. It's not just about us giving and receiving gifts. It's not just about us spending quality time with family and friends and eating lots of food and cookies and candy. That's all really good stuff, but it's not just about that today. So you might ask, where did this fear come from? How is it that we ended up living these lives of fear that we have all around us? Well, it began in the very beginning. It's an ancient incident that is deeply embedded into every person's heart. It all started with Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve were the first people. They were the very first people that God created. And we see in Scripture that they walked with God in the cool of the day. And in fact, they lived perfect lives. Perfectly harmonious lives. Can you imagine that kind of a life where we could walk hand in hand with God in the cool of the day in a beautiful garden? That's the life that God intended for us to live. That's the very heart of God right there. So if you're ever tempted to think that God didn't have or doesn't have good plans for us, He does, and He has from the very, very beginning. So in chapter 3, this is what we see of the book of Genesis. We see that one day, Adam and Eve, they decided to become their own masters, to become the own rulers of their lives, and to call all the shots. And on that day, when God came to see them, He came to the garden to find them, they weren't around like they normally had been. In fact, they had ran and they had hid in some bushes. And God called out and He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam replied, I'm here. Why? Says God. And Adam says, I was afraid. Full of fear, he hides. He feels vulnerable. So what is fear? It's when we do just what Adam did. It's the hiding. It's when we try to wrap ourselves up in things that make us feel safe and give us security. It's trying to withdraw like a turtle withdraws into a shell. And we just hope that the shell is tough enough to keep us safe. And there's lots of ways that we try to live safe lives. Some of us say, well, I'm safe because I have a good job. And some of us say, well, I'm safe. I've got a lot of good friends around me. I'm safe because my family loves me. I'm safe because I'm pretty talented. I'm pretty smart, in fact, and I think I'll be just fine. But the reason that we're afraid is because we know, even though we tell ourselves that we're okay, we know that these wrappings that we wrap ourselves in, these bushes, if you will, the problem is they're not really safe. They're precarious, aren't they? We know that sometimes jobs aren't there a month down the road. And at some point, some family members will be gone. Sometimes friends don't stick with us. And sometimes, no matter how talented you are, it's just not enough. And we know that we live in this kind of precarious tension, right? And that's the reason why, underneath these wrappings that we try to wrap ourselves in, there's a lot of anxiety And there's a lot of fear. And this fear and anxiety, it takes all sorts of forms. For some of us, we wrestle with the fear of being rejected. For others, it's the fear of failure. For some of it, it's just the fear of the future. We just don't know what's going to be next. And these fears, they gnaw at us. And it's because at the root, what we're really afraid of is actually grabbing hold of the life that God has for each and every one of us to live. We're not willing to really live out the good news that the angels came and told the shepherds about. We want to keep Jesus at a safe distance. But here's the crazy thing. As long as we do that, as long as we keep Jesus at a safe distance, you're going to have fear. We're afraid that somehow, if we flat out run to Jesus and completely give ourselves over to him, we're going to miss out. Here's the lie that many of us believe today. If I give myself to Jesus totally, I know he's going to ask me to do things that I don't think I can do. At the very least, he's going to ask me to do things that I don't want to do. He's going to ask me to give things up, things that I don't want to give up. So if you're in that condition, we're just like the shepherds, and you need to hear a solution, right? Well, good news. Keep reading. The solution's right there. Look at verses 10 and 11. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news. So what is this good news that's meant to take away our fear? The good news that will cause great joy for all the people, it's right there in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. Now there's two parts to this good news. First of all, he's born a Savior. He's the Messiah. Well, the term Messiah means the one that was long awaited for, the one that the Israelites had waited and waited for. And he was the Savior. It tells us that someone has come to save us. In Philippians 2, it says that even though Jesus Christ was God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to hold on to. But he emptied himself and became a servant, and he lived an obedient life and died on the cross. So why did Jesus have to come down here? Why did he come down as a baby? Well, he came down so that he could live a perfect life, and so that he could die for you and for me, so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. He came down for that reason, but he also came down so that we could walk out our day-to-day lives with him without fear. So the second part of this good news is that Jesus came to give us the courage that we need. Look at verse 11 again. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now don't overlook those last two words because they're critical. Yes, this baby was the Savior. Yes, this was the long-awaited Messiah. But the last two words, Jesus is the Lord. He is meant to be the Lord of our lives. The word Lord there, it means someone who has power, authority, influence, like a master or a ruler. And when we allow Jesus to have power, authority, and influence in our life, it changes absolutely everything. When we allow him to be Lord, one thing we do is we worship him. Just like the angels did in verse 14, they sang, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And you know what? Those two things, they go together. When we're worshiping God, it is hard to not have peace. When we're worshiping God and when we allow him to be Lord of our lives, that's where the peace comes in. So when you look at Jesus in the face and you say, your goals are more important than my goals. Jesus, the weight that you put on my life, for my life, is more important than the weight I put to my life. Your wishes, Jesus, no matter what they are more important than my wishes for my life. What you want my life to look like, Jesus, is more important than what I want my life to look at. So does Jesus get his way in your life? Is he the Lord of your life? Do you give him authority and power in your life? Because when we say to Jesus, I know what's best for my life, I don't think you do. It means we're giving more value, more weight to our own wisdom instead of to his wisdom. It means you're giving yourself more glory than you're giving to God. And that's why we're worried and afraid. The reason we're afraid of rejection, we're afraid of how people will treat us, we're afraid of what people will think about us, is because we give more weight, we give more glory to what other people think. We often give more weight to what we think, what others think, even what other institutions think we should do, than what Jesus thinks we should do, and how Jesus has for us to live. So if you want peace on earth, peace in your own life, then we have to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our lives every single day. If you want to get rid of fear, you have to realize that Jesus was born a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And that, my friends, has the power to change absolutely everything in your life. So here's the deal. When we have an encounter with God, we are never the same. Look at the shepherds. In verse 17, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds, what the shepherds said to them. Now the shepherds, they could have been afraid to even go and see the child, right? Or once they got there, they might have just gone back to their shepherding jobs and played it safe. But they didn't. In fact, they spread the word. They became evangelists. Not only did they go, they went and told people the good news. And you know what? People listened. People listened. These shepherds who had not had a voice before, who were marginalized by society, people began to hear them. This event, the angels coming to the shepherds trusting them and being willing to go and see the baby, even though they were afraid, and then being caught up in worshiping this baby and the God who sent the baby, they were never the same after that event. They became people who told the good news. They became people who walked out the lives that God intended for them to walk out. So can I give you a real life example of this story, this very thing happening? I'm going to tell you about my daughter, Anna. Well, my daughter, Anna, has lived most of her life afraid. In fact, early on, certainly from middle school on, she was afraid that people wouldn't like her. She was afraid that that she wouldn't ever have a boyfriend. She was afraid that someday she wouldn't ever get married, that she would never have children. She was afraid of just about everything. She was afraid she wouldn't have enough money. She was afraid that the car wouldn't start. She was afraid. She lived a life of fear. But what she did was she recognized, first and foremost, that Jesus came to save her. She trusted him. She trusted him with eternity, that she would spend eternity with him. But she didn't stop there. She went on to allow him to be the Lord of her life. She began to say yes. No matter what, she began to say yes. And she did this by worshiping Jesus. She spent time worshiping. She spent time praying. She spent time regularly reading the Word. She spent time worshiping by serving. She spent time asking others to pray for her, asking others to pray that she wouldn't be afraid. And an amazing thing happened. She became unafraid. God came and showed up, and then he said, okay, you're trusting me with this. How about this? And he said, I want you to get on a plane, and I want you to go to Africa. I want you to go to Rwanda, and I'll show you when you get there what I want you to do. So she had a few contacts. She didn't know the language. She wasn't real sure what it was going to look like. But she did it because she trusted that God was going to go with her and he wasn't going to forsake her. So she got on the plane, she went, and even though she would tell you that there were certainly times of anxiety and certainly many times where she had to say, all right, Jesus, I need you. I need you to come and help me not be afraid. Now, she is starting a ministry in Rwanda for children who don't have voices, for children who live marginalized lives. So that God has these great, amazing lives for absolutely all of us to live. Every single one of us. And we can. He gives us everything we need to live those lives. Let's look at Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If you are fearful, write this verse down somewhere. Tattoo it on the inner part of your arm. This is a promise you can count on. We were not made to walk around afraid. We were made to be strong and courageous, to walk out and live the life that God has for us to live. And this courage isn't something that we have to muster up on our own. Many of us have tried to do that. Many of us have tried to be strong and courageous on our own. It only takes you so far. Now, this comes when you do the opposite, when you yield your will to God, when you give him the weight, when you let him be the Lord of your life. That's when this works. So this is it. Because of Emmanuel, God is with us. Because of a baby that we celebrate today that was born 2,000 years ago, we don't have to be afraid. So I want to pray over all of us here in a minute, and then I'm going to have any kids or any other people who feel like they just want to worship Jesus' birthday, we've got some musical instruments, and you can come up and get some musical instruments, and we're going to do a few worship songs. Leanne is going to key. Oh! Look what I missed. Isn't that sweet? Leanne's going to keep painting while we go into worship. But if you just stand, I really want to pray for you and for all of us. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth of the message of your Son, our Savior and our Lord. And Father, I know that some of us are feeling even right now, like, Casey, you don't even know what I'm got going on in my life. You don't even know the fears and the reasons that it's hard for me to let go of those fears. But you know what your Father does? So I'm just going to encourage you right now, and we're just going to be quiet for a minute, and just pull up those fears. Right now, just think, what are the things that I'm the most afraid of? And would you even like visually put those things in your hands and just extend your hands and offer them up to Jesus and say, here they are. Here are my fears. Jesus, would you take them? And as he takes them, receive the peace that he has for you. It's a two-part process. We give our fears, and then we receive his peace, his courage, his comfort, his power. You might need to do that, what I just did with you. You might need to do that many, many times today, many, many times every single day. But if you'll do that and get really good at that, Jesus will be so faithful, and he will fill you with his peace and his courage. So, Father, we're just so grateful. We're so grateful that we don't have to live fearful lives. Would you just come, and for every single person in this auditorium, would you just take that fear and deposit great joy, your great joy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So like I said, I'm going to invite kids, whoever else wants to come. We have musical instruments. Anna's going to come up here and hand those out. And you know, it might get a little noisy in here, but we would love to pray for any of you who would like to get prayer today. So any of us with a name tag on, we'd love to pray for you in the auditorium or in the lobby, wherever, whenever. Come and get some prayer. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.